Hey, leaders, hope you're having an awesome week. This is, this Wednesday is the second to last Wednesday of the year. So next Wednesday, December the 18th, we are going to have a big D group party. I don't think we're going to have any music tonight, this Wednesday night. That's when we're going to have our Christmas music. So the 18th, I think we're just going to go straight to our places. So high school is going to meet in the Pine Room upstairs. We're going to sit in a big circle. We're going to do the white elephant thing. So be telling your students about that this week. We want them to bring a less than $5 present that is wrapped or in a bag of some sort to use for white elephant Christmas. You know how that works. There's presents in the room and somebody can open one and then or they can steal one from somebody and it goes all the way around the room. We do it kind of faster. Now, one thing that I'll say is I will not be there that night. Laura is going to have ankle surgery that day on the 18th, and she'll be recovering. And so I will be recruiting a couple of you to just kind of oversee things, make sure nobody gets hurt in the craziness of all the stuff, and let everybody know the rules. And there's a microphone in that room and all that, so we'll be able to make that work. Anyway, that's what that'll be like. And then we're off. Super excited about, having a little time off with family and all that. So I hope it's a good break for you. But we're at the last week on the Exodus study. I hope it's been a good study for you guys. Hope it's been born some fruitful conversation with you and your students. This week, we're going to be in Exodus 33 and 34. And in this case, basically, just to summarize it for you, God commands the Israelites to move. They're going to get up and they're going to start heading out. And then Moses is going to pray to God, sort of mediating for the people again, but also asking to see the glory of God. And then God will allow his kind of, he'll hide Moses in the cleft of the rock. He'll put his hand over Moses. And they'll pass through, and Moses will kind of see the end of God's glory. And then you see the part when Moses' face is glowing, and it scares the people, and so Moses wears a hood. And so but the main theme of what we're talking about this week has to do with the tension between God's justice and his mercy. So God's holiness and his desire to not stand sin, not clear the iniquity. In fact, when Moses sees God, in the way that God allows him to, God declares his own name. And in that, he declares this mercy and justice that we're talking about. So it says that he's going to show compassion and steadfast love, but he will by no means clear the guilty, but he's gonna cause justice to happen, that kind of thing. So you have these passages. You have some conversation in that initial Bible conversation about the tension between justice and relation and mercy, and you talk about some examples like, have you seen this tension play out with your relationship with your parents? Like, your parents need to punish you when you do the wrong thing, and yet they're your parents and they want to be kind and merciful to you. So does that happen? What about church discipline? I mean, just so you know, we are a church that practices church discipline. And so that just means that if someone is in sin, that the members of our church are called to go and talk to that person and implore them to come back into fellowship with Jesus. And even if it did come to a membership, whether they stayed members or not kind of thing, that's what would happen. And that is a justice issue, but it's also a mercy issue because you don't discipline everything. You only discipline certain things. And when people come back and they're repentant, because after the church discipline, they are restored, and that's mercy. So maybe that's something to talk about in groups, or maybe some other kind of situation where they've seen that happen. Or you could go, if nobody's answering, you could say, what about in a movie or a book? Like, where have you seen that happen? Mercy. Think like, I don't know, there's all kinds of like classics, like Les Miserables or something like that, where there's the priest that shows Jean Valjean the mercy when he steals from him and things like that. So lots of things like that. And then you have, like, why do you think God told Moses that he couldn't see his face? That's the final question there. And then you have the article that kind of gives some answer to that. So what we have is a story at the beginning. Emily this girl, Emily, who's getting in trouble. I don't even think we know what she did, but she did something wrong, and her dad texts her and says, I know what you're up to. And then she's dreading this conversation with him, and she does wind up getting punished. But the first thing that she gets from him is this hug. He, like, comes out of nowhere and gives her a hug, and it's exactly what she needed at that moment. So even though she got punished, even though she had to face the consequences of her actions, she knew and was aware of her father's love and presence in her life at that moment. And so we have Moses kind of expressing that too. You know, God says, you're going to go, and I'm not going to go with you in this passage. And then Moses is like, no, we might as well not tell us to go at all, because he wants the presence of God in his life. You have some information about Moses asking to see the face of God or the glory of God. And so you have a couple of phrases about how the idea of face and glory are kind of synonymous with each other here in this passage in the Hebrew. And then you have, it just kind of plays out this tension between being merciful and just. So this passage, I think I alluded to this earlier, but God says to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And so in this moment when God is like, I can't be in the presence of sin, I'm going to allow you, a sinful human, to experience some form of my glory, even though your sinfulness prevents it from being as much as it should be. She says, Moses did not get God's face because only later at the cross would the full radiance of God's glory be displayed in the face of another man who got God's back. Of course, she's talking there about Jesus. Jesus gets God's back because he turns his back on Jesus when he's on the cross. So on the cross, we have the perfect tension of God punishing sin, him being just, and showing mercy to us. He is just towards Jesus instead of us. So he's punishing sin, and he's showing mercy at the same time. It's like this perfect meeting of both of these things. Then you have your discussion after this. It says, like Emily, we all crave affirmation, especially from a parent, after we've sinned or felt if we disappoint them. But the deeper question is, how has your sin affected your relationship with God? Have you feared his rejection? If so, did it cause you to try to make amends or lead you to run from him? And how did that work for you? So this is like a classic thing for us. I feel like when we do the wrong thing, often instead of us going to God, it drives us away from God. Our guilt causes us not to want to go to church, not to want to open our Bible, not want to meet God in prayer, because we have this thought in our mind that he's like shaking his finger at us. But the truth is that he's like Emily's father there, who wants to be with us. We are his child. And so that means we should go to him. It doesn't mean he's going to like prevent us from meeting, facing the consequences of our actions sometimes. Sometimes sin causes things to happen that are unpleasant, and God will allow us to meet those sometimes. But he loves us. He shows us mercy. Another question you have is, what do you think is the difference between having God's presence and eternal favor versus his earthly benefits? Okay, that's like a pretty deep question, but essentially, what's the difference between wanting the benefit, the earthly benefits of God's presence in our life versus the earthly benefits that we receive from being Christians? We should want God himself and not just the things that God provides us is kind of where that's going. Okay, you have several other questions. I think they're all going to give some pretty poignant stuff in your group. We're running out of time. So you have an exercise at the end called Heads or Tails. This is not my favorite exercise. I don't think they're ending on a good note here. But essentially, you take out a coin, you show it to them, you say, look, there's a heads and a tails. You're equating that with God's justice and his mercy. We might want to only look at one side all the time. We might only want the mercy side all the time. But the truth is that he is united in both of those things. And we need to love him because he is not just merciful, but also just. We should love him for all that he is. And then you have basically an opportunity to do some journaling and to think about how God thinks about you and how you should think about others, that kind of thing. And then you have some opportunity there to sort of debrief the whole book of Exodus together. I went a little long tonight, but it's a little bit of a long lesson. I hope this is helpful to you. And if you need anything, please let me know. Have a great week, and I'll see you Wednesday.